core response to that right there. Who got your word with you? Hold them up. Get your iPod, emails, whatever. You don't do emails. You got iPods. You got the hard copy. You got your phone, whatever. Get it out. Let's get the word of God up. And you know that we're in Joshua chapter 3. Now, last week in part one of this message, God showed, just give me a second here. God showed us that in times of transition, in times of change, that what we need to remember is God's provision. That was point number one of this message last week. As we studied Joshua beginning in chapter 3, we learned about how God took special care of the Hebrews. Now in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we see that the Israelites are camped out on the banks of the Jordan. They are getting ready to cross over the Jordan River to the Promised Land. Now we have to remember where these Hebrews have been. Where have they been? They were held in captivity for 400 years in Egypt, and then God released them, and then they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and during that time that they were in that desert for 40 years, God provided for them, and he took care of them. That's where they're at now. That's what he's doing. And we have to go back, and we have to remember what they knew. They knew that God delivered them. They saw it firsthand. They were able to escape out of Egypt unharmed. They walked right through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground. Just walked right through it. So they remembered that. That's what they knew. And then what they know in the present is that God was taking care of them there, right there in the desert. Y'all remember the cloud by day, and remember that there's not a blessing that's singular. Blessings are always plural. There's a cloud by day, and by night there was a pillar of fire by night, and he fed them manna, and then he decided to give them a month's worth of quail, and then they wanted water. They were to speak and strike the rocks, and water would come out. And their clothing never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. There was no need to go to Macy's or JCPenney's for anything. Their feet never swelled. Their feet never got sore or did any water pills. But now they are there camping out on the banks of transition. 3 days they are camped out there on the Jordan River, and now they are getting ready to cross over into the unknown. Remember, they are to boldly go where no one had ever gone before them. And this probably seemed impossible to them. Remember, the spies that were previously sent out, the 12 that returned, and they have this news of the giants, of fortified cities, the raging river that they have to cross. And to say the least, we all know this, that change can be scary. Amen. But God had provided for them in the past. God was providing for them presently, but now it was time to make a move into what seemed to be an impossible situation. So that leads us in this morning to point number two. Point number two, I want you to see this. In times of transition, give attention and special attention to God's position. We need to take note of God's position. Where is God presently in the midst of the transitions in your life? Where is he? What's going on? What's happening? Let me show you this in the beginning of verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Remember, in verses 1 and 2, they are camped out on the banks of the Jordan for 3 days. Now the Hebrews are going to be given their instruction about crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's about 3,000 feet, or just over a half a mile. It says there, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. Let us pray. Father God, we ask your blessing of the reading of the word, Father. But Father, we also ask, Father, that as we come, Father, as your church, as your people, as the ones that you've called out, the ones that you have saved, Father, we come before you, Father, and ask that you do a tremendous work in our lives through your word. Father, through our transitions, through the changes that are going through in our life, Father, we ask, Father, for your help. We ask for your spirit. We ask for your protection. And Father, as I stand before you as your messenger, Father, I pray, Father, if I'm not the one to speak your word today, that you would silence my lips and you would rise up the one to speak for you, Father, that you would have ordained to do so today. Father, please forgive me of my sin, that nothing would stand between you and I. I love you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, you've got to stop and ask the question, why is this? Why do not come near the Ark of the Covenant? Well, you know the Ark of the Covenant is just a fascinating thing if you go to study it. It's always the Ark of the Covenant has always been fascinating to me. There was a man by the name of Bizal who built the Ark of the Covenant. God said this, he says, I put into him a spirit, a talent, an ability to craft and to mold and to sculpt metal. That would have been something that not everybody in that day could really do. But God gave him this ability. God gave him this talent. And so they took a wooden box about 4 feet long, about 2.5 feet wide, and about 2.5 feet deep, and they overlaid it with gold. And they put these hooks on either side, two on each side, four of them total. And through these hooks on the side of it, they ran poles of acacia wood, and they overlaid that with gold as well. Then the top was made out of pure gold. It was absolutely made out of solid gold. Now, I know it was 4 feet long. I know it was 2.5 feet wide, but I don't know how thick the thing was. But they made the top of it out of solid gold. It would have been extremely valuable. It would have been extremely precious. And on top of that lid, there would have been two cherubims, these two angel-like creatures that spread their wings out like a diver would. When you see a diver, their wings would have been spread out like a diver does when he dives into the water. And they're facing one another like that. And he crafted that. In that box was a gold bowl of manna. Now, we all know what the manna was. It's what he fed them, their main staple in the desert for 40 years. And they put a gold bowl of manna in there, and they put the tablets of the law in there, that Moses had, that God had given him. Aaron, at one point, put his rod in there. And it is interesting when you read about that. So they made that, and God said that it's to be out in front of you, by 2,000 cubits, a little more than a half a mile. It's supposed to be out in front of you, a little over a half a mile. And you ask, why did they do that? What's the importance of that? In fact, you look at this, and a lot of commentators will tell you that the reason that they did that was, the reason that they were not to come near it was because it was holy and the presence of God was there. We talked a little bit about that last week. It was holy, and the presence of God was around that covenant, or around that box. And you remember Uzziah, who reached out to study the ark, and on one occasion, when David was bringing it up to Jerusalem, they were not carrying it right, or they weren't carrying it the way that they should have. And what happened to the guy? God struck him dead. But that's not why God said this thing is to be out there that far. That's not the reason why it's out there way out in front. In fact, if you will read the text will tell you why. Look at this. It says this in the second half of verse 3. Look at the second half of verse 3. It says this. It says, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. It's a compass device. It's a GPS device. You see it? It says, don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. It was to be out there, and they were to see it out there, because they had no concept of how do I go. How do you want me to do this, Lord? How do I get across this raging river? Which direction do I take? Where do we cross the river at? Have you ever been there? Have you ever personally been there at a crossroads in your life and you have no idea what to do or how to do it, or which way should you proceed? Which way do I go? Listen, I'm the most indecisive person that my wife knows. What do I do? How do I do this? How do I get there? Now, I want you to look at this. Look at the passage, verse 10, because in our life, we need a guide. We need the presence of God. Amen? Each and every one of us as a believer knows how important that is. Look what it says in verse 10. Joshua said this, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. It was a picture of the presence of God. Look at verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. And what that says to me is this, congregation, is that this thing had been right up in front. If this thing had been right up in front of them, right in front of those Hebrews, if it had been immediately right out in front of them, maybe just a foot out in front of them, then those in the back would never be able to see it. So he says, get it out there. Put it way out there in front of everybody. Get it out there where all the Hebrews can see, where all the Israelites can see it. Excuse me. Move it out there, way out in front of you. Now, they may not have been able to distinguish what it was. They may not have been able to make out all of its features that I just described to you just previously. They may not have been able to make all that out, but they'll know that that's the Ark of the Covenant. And they know what that represents. And they can identify with the Ark of the Covenant as the presence of God before them. Now let me tell you something. That's exactly what God wanted. That's exactly what God wanted. God says, stop focusing on the river. Stop focusing on its impossibilities and get focused on my presence, and I will take you across the river. You're all sitting here on the banks debating, how in the world does God expect us to get across this? Look at this thing. There's no way I could go across this. It's just raging out of control. And God says, listen, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Let me give you something to focus on, and it's my presence. And you know what? That's what he's saying to you and me here today. That's what he's telling you, both, all of us here today. He's saying this. He's saying, look, glance at the problem. Glance at the problem. Glance at the changes going on in your life and focus on me. Listen, God has given you and I, as a believer, His Holy Spirit. He is in us. It dwells in us. It's living. The Holy Spirit is living, breathing, and active. He is in us and abides in us. Focus on that. Do you know how many people really say, I never hear anything from God? I don't understand. Are you not praying? Are you not reading His Word? Are you not communicating with Him? Listen, He communicates with me. Why? Because I'm seeking Him. In my problems that I have, you understand, being a pastor of church is not easy. I'm not complaining. I'm just being honest. It's not easy. I have to make decisions that I know that sometimes people are going to get offended. But I have to do what I feel is right. I don't do that on my own. I just don't make it up as I go along the way. I have to focus on God. I have to focus on Him speaking to me. So look what he's saying. He's saying this. He says, stop being focused on everything else. He's talking to the Hebrews. He's saying, look, I'm putting this out there in front of you, so stop being focused on everything else and focus on me. Don't focus on the impossibilities in your life. But focus on my presence being with you. Focus on my presence being in you. Focus on my presence being before you. Focus on the possibilities that can occur when you let me lead in your life. Get that for a second. He says, stop just wringing your hands and wringing your hands. And that, you know, it's where we get the word worry. You know, worry is sinful. He's saying, you're sitting around and you're wringing your hands. This is going on and that's going on. And you're wringing your hands. And do you not know the word? What does it say about God? With God, all things are, even the impossibilities are going to become possible. How did they get out of Egypt? So often I get people coming to me and people calling me recently, what's going to happen to this country? Pastor, what do you think? Oh, you see, what's going to happen? Listen, I got the biblical profound answer for you is this. I don't know. But I know who does. I don't know. Or this one. I get this one all the time. Or Pastor, are we in the end times? Do you think the Antichrist is here now and on and on and on? And the truth is this. Now, I don't want to I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I don't want to offend anyone because I care about each and every one of you. I really, truly, honestly do deeply care. But when it comes to end times and the Antichrist, I could care less. Why? It doesn't make any difference to me. Because you know what I say in the midst of this? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Every Christian, come, Lord Jesus, come. Why? Because I'm ready to go. You say, well, you're selfish. No, I'm not. I'm ready. Listen, there's always going to be someone in our lives, in our family, in our loved ones that we want to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's never going to stop. Christ is going to come, so come, Lord Jesus. But let me tell you this truth that I know about the end times and Antichrist. Let me tell you, this is a profound truth that I can give you, and it's this. We are closer today to the coming of Christ than we were yesterday. But listen, we get focused on so much stuff. We focus so much on what we can't do, or we focus on so much stuff that we can't control, that we leave God out of the equation and what he can do. Listen, I can't defeat the Antichrist. But I haven't forgot about who will. But so often we're pathetic sometimes. We lose focus. You know who we're like? You know, honestly, who we're like? We're oftentimes like Peter. You remember Peter, don't you? Remember he goes out there on the boat and Jesus comes walking out and Peter got focused on the waves and the wind and what the wind was doing and what the waves were doing, and he got his eyes off Christ. What happened when he got his eyes and his focus off Christ? What happened? He began to sink. And then he ultimately ended up crying out, right? And here's my word to you. Stay focused in times of transition. Stay focused in any time for that fact, okay? Because listen, the Lord not only has a way, God not only leads the way, God not only knows the way, God is the way. Do you know every Hebrew had to walk by that ark? Do you realize that? I want you to get a picture. It's 1.5 to 3 million people, women and children, all of them included. Do you realize that every last one of them, from the littlest, the smallest, to the tallest, had to walk past that ark? See that little Hebrew girl and that little Hebrew boy just running across that river? And the priest stood there. The priest stood there with the ark until every last Hebrew crossed over, and the priest picked up, and then they crossed over, and then the waters fell back down in behind them. Do you see what I see? You know, I'm just a basic kind of guy. Y'all know that. I'm not Einstein here. But do you see what I see? If God can settle the wind and the waves and the raging sea and the raging river, if they listen to his command, what can he not settle in the path of my life and your life? What can he not settle? What can he not control? What can he not deliver you from? Somebody tell me what it is. He's the way, folks. God is the only way. Amen? Understand, he not only knows the way, he leads the way. He knows how to get across the way. He's already had it figured out before you ever got to where you're at right now. He's already got the way figured out how to get across the way. He is the way. The question is this, and it's a very profound question. The question is this, is he leading you? Are you following his lead? Or... You know, I did this for so many, it's like the poor guy that Haas talked about, and I did this so often in my life. Is he leading you, or do you set out on your way, and you say, I'm going to just make a decision, I'm going to go this way. You know, come on, God, you follow me. This is the way I'm going. Come on, God, you bless me in this way. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do, and you Listen, when you are allowing God to lead you, you will follow His instruction. You will follow His leadership, and you will follow His way. Amen? Now let me give you the last thing, and the last thing is this. In times of transition, you're standing there on the banks of the impossible transition in your life. Here's the third thing, is this: trust in His instruction. Trust in His instruction. Trust in His leadership. Trust in His word. Now watch, because Joshua comes with God's instruction in verse 5, and look what he says. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now let me just say this. The word wonders right there in the Hebrew, if you look it up and study it on your own, what you will find is that it means this, that which you cannot do, that word wonders there, means that which you cannot do and you cannot understand. How many of you are in a place right now that you can't understand what God's doing? You're in wonders, right? Right? Yeah. I love that, because so many people think they've got God figured out. I know how God did that. I know how God thinks. You know, there are some people, History Channel type people, who say, and I love the History Channel, so I'm not picking on anybody specifically. I'm accused of being old. But I love the History Channel. But History Channel type people say things like this, that there was some kind of earthquake or something that caused the water to dam up on the Jordan River, so much so that the Jordan River stopped flowing. That's what happened, is that there was an earthquake and or some natural kind of disaster, and that's what stopped the Jordan from flowing. And you know what I say to that? Give me a break. It's actually laughable to me. And I want to tell you why it's laughable. And I want you to remember some of the plagues and some of the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, and some of these great miracles that we know throughout front Scripture, front and back. It's, when I hear people try this, it's laughable to me. It's laughable because, you know why it's laughable? Because it always happens at the precise time that God's people needed it to happen. And it's by chance, by natural selection or whatever, I don't know what you want to call it, there had to be an earthquake just at the right time for God's people for what they needed. Every single time. And always does exactly, precisely what they needed it, the disaster, to do. When was the last time that you was involved in a disaster that it did exactly what you needed it to do? See, that's why it's laughable to me. Now that humors me when people try to explain God's miracles away as a natural disaster event. Understand this: God is going to do wonders. He tells us, "I'm going to do wonders," and He is going to do what you can't even begin to wrap your mind around to protect His people. God's capabilities are, listen to me, God's capabilities are far greater than that of of nature. I mean, I understand God, you know, He controls all things, but His capabilities are far greater than nature. He created nature. He created everything that we see and we know. And here's the other thing about God: His timing is always exactly right every time for His people. And now notice this: the wind, the waves, and the raging river obey His commands. Here's a question for you. All of those things obey His commands. Do you? Do we as His people? I want you to see this, verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now notice there down there in verse 8, "You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying..." Now he's given the people instruction here. Here's what's happening. He's given the people instruction. When you see that Ark move, when you see that Ark out in front of you, you see that Ark begin to move, you set out behind it and you follow it. Now he comes to the priest and he says, "Listen guys, let me tell you something. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you're going to stand still in the Jordan. You're going to walk out in there. You're going to go out there to the Jordan, and you're going to stand still in the Jordan. Now watch, because I want you to see something. I want you to understand that they have to get down in the water. Now, this is a rapidly, don't forget, now remember, this is a rapidly moving river. It's just not when they're, it's not just when their foot touches it that all of this happens. I'm telling you, look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest, plural, now watch that, plural, when the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. Now, do you see that? They've got to get their feet wet. The priests have got to get their feet wet. This is not a good day to be an ark on ark toting duty, okay? I want you to think about it. It's not a good day to be on ark toting duty. He says, let me tell you something, priest. Let me tell you something, guys. He said, you're going to come down there, and you guys who are carrying this ark, now listen, you've got to follow God's instruction. You've got to get your feet wet. If you're going to follow God's instruction, you're going to get your feet wet. They can feel the current tugging just like the undertow that you feel when you're at the beach. You all know what I'm talking about? You're standing there and you feel that undertow pulling back on you. They would have felt that. They can feel the current tugging at them. Now think about this. It's bad enough to be on ark toting duty that day. That's your detail. That's what you've been assigned to do. But it's even worse to be the first two guys leading out on ark toting duty of the ark. Why? Because, yeah, they got to get their feet wet. But what else do they have to do? They have to go in a little bit further. Why? Because all the priests have to get in, right? They got to go in a little bit deeper so that the guys in the back can get their feet in the water too. Now, Christians, hear this principle. Nothing ever happens to the people of God until the people of God are willing to get their feet wet in following God's commands. Let me repeat that. Nothing ever happens to the people of God until the people of God are willing to get their feet wet in following God's commands. Listen to me, church. Listen to me as a church first, and then listen to me individually for your life. If you're not willing to get your feet wet, you most likely will never see the true awesome power of God. We all want to take a pill and then wait for an experience. If you're not willing to get your feet wet into the instruction of God, you will most likely never see and experience His power. You'll never experience in your life. We'll never experience in His church. You'll never experience in whatever situation you're in right now. Sometimes you got to get out knee deep. You seen them first two guys? This is a raging river. This isn't the little Harmon Creek down here. Sometimes you got to get out knee deep, and you know what you got to do? You got to do the same things that these guys did who were on ark toting duty that day. You know what you got to do? You got to just trust God. You got to just trust God. You got to trust that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. You got to trust that God's going to act like He says He's going to act. Let me ask you this. If He's instructing you to go into the deep, if He's instructing you to go into the unknown, then you must trust God and obey. You have to obey His instruction before you can experience His power in your life. Before you can claim the promises that He has because you're trusting in obeying. Those front guys, I can imagine, were at least knee-deep for the back guys to get their feet out into the water, into the edge. And if I'm out there knee-deep, let me tell you something. and I'm just going to be up front with you as your pastor. If I'm out there knee deep, do you know who I want out there knee deep with me? You. I want you to come with me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out just a little bit deeper. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn around and see who's... So I'm going to move out a little further. And listen, I can't expect you to go deep. I can't expect you to go deep if I'm not willing to go deep. If those priests on that day were not willing to go in, what would have happened to the 3 million people behind them? And if I trust God like that in the leadership, in my life, in my marriage, maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a financial struggle. Maybe you're going through a job issue. Maybe, I don't know. You pick the struggle. You pick the changes. They're going. If I trust God in all those areas of my life, and especially as your pastor, you know what I need from you? I need you to trust Him the same way. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. How's that? Don't trust your pastor. But follow me as I follow. Am I being arrogant? No. Because if you find out I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Why? If we don't act like this, we will never experience. Watch. If we don't trust and obey like this, we will never experience what God can do in us. Do you see that? God's going to do something exceptional for His people here. But unless they are obedient and trusting and obeying Him in these things, in these changes, in these trials, in these obstacles, in these hurdles, how many will agree with this statement? Going into the unknown is scary. But watch. Going into the unknown doesn't mean that you are going alone. If those two front leaders, those two front ark toters, if they refused to get into the water, what do you think that the rest would have done? Remember this, in times of transition, you be obedient to God's instruction. Dads, moms, grandmas, grandpaps. You hearing this? In times of transition, you be obedient to God's instruction. Listen, you personally need to be a leader in following the instruction of the Lord in your life. You personally, I can't do that for you. You personally have to do this. You need to be a leader in following the instruction of the Lord in your life. Why? It's easy. It's simple. Why? Because that's where you will experience the power and presence of the Lord like none other. Like none other. That's where you're going to have that experience. That's where you're going to have that divine moment. That's where you're going to have the mountaintop experience. It's when you heed God's instruction. And you know what God's instruction is? This is what it is. Listen, you always know I end on an extremely profound, deep theological instruction for you in your life so that you can put it in application. Do you know why you need to do this? Or do you know what I mean? Do you know why you need this to trust God to get this experience in your life? Or how do you do it? How do I follow God's instruction? Here's what God's ultimate instruction for you in your life is. You ready? trust me. Trust me. Trust me. What does he say? I will never leave you or forsake you. Trust me. Trust me by faith. And be willing to get your feet wet. Listen, most of us want the transitions in our lives to happen with no hurdles and no speed bumps and without any difficulties. Life is rough and life is tough, but that's not usually the way it happens, right? That's not life. Does anybody have life like that? So thank God. Watch. We all should be on our knees, each and every individual Christian. We need to thank God. Why? Because he goes before us. And then he not only goes before us, but he goes with us to guide the way for us to trust him. You see that? He hasn't left us as orphans. He hasn't left here to find our own way. Jesus, what did Jesus Christ say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Well, listen. If I can't even get to heaven without Jesus, how in the world am I going to get through this life without him? I mean, think about that. He's calling you and saying, look, I know life's hard. I know there's transition going on in your life. I know that it's not easy. That's why I've come. That's why I put my spirit in you. That's why I put my presence in you. That's why I'm leading you, and that's why I'm guiding you. But you have to trust me and obey my instruction. Are you there? Do you have that kind of faith in your situation that you're in right now? Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith in your spiritual life right now? Well, we will find out how it worked out for the Israelites, right? Hopefully, it will be the same for you. Let's stand. Every head bowed, let's stand. I ask you to bow your heads. If God asked you to step into a raging river today, maybe he already has. You know that's a metaphor, right? If God asks you to step into a raging river, if God asks you to step into the unknown, into a situation that is not comfortable, let me ask you this. Would you trust him? I'm not asking you if you'd like it. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, would you trust him? Let me ask you another question. Would you obey him? Would you be willing to get your feet wet? Would you trust God? Listen to me very carefully. Some of you need to step out of your seat and you need to wade down this aisle and make a decision this morning to trust and obey God in your life, in every area of your life, especially the ones that you can't change and you can't control. You see, that's the invitation to you this morning. You're here this morning and you say, I want God to help me in my time of transition. I want God to help me in my life, in my situation right now. I'm going through a great struggle of transition right now. I'm camped out just like those Israelites on the bank of the impossible in my life right now. Would you wade down the aisle this morning and ask for God's help? Ask him to give you the faith to trust him and to obey him. And for some of you, let me tell you something. You've got to come and give your life to Jesus Christ first before you can even get to that point. You must come and settle a sin issue that separates you from a holy God and a relationship with him. You've never trusted him for the forgiveness of your sins. You've never responded to him as your personal Lord and Savior. Listen, God has been speaking to some of you for a while now. And he's saying to you, come to me. I want to transition your life. I want to transition you spiritually. He's saying to you, come to me. Would you trust and obey that calling? Would you trust him in your salvation? If you can't trust him in your salvation, how could you possibly trust him in anything else? Listen to me. Here's the thing I get as a pastor all the time. Well, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that. And you know what? I want to sow my oats. And I, you know, God's just taking his time with me. No. If God is speaking, then the day is now and the time is now. You don't know what tomorrow brings. So I want you to begin to move out of your place where you're at and way down here. And you know what? You need to say to me, I want to trust God. I want to trust Jesus. I want to follow him. And you know what? We'll follow up with you. We're not going to make a big scene. We will follow up with you. We will come and talk to you personally. You say, but I want to trust Jesus. I want to follow him. You just come and grab a hold of me and you say those words and you can move on. And others of you need to come and unite as a member of this church to be a part of this fellowship, to be a part of what God is doing here. You know what you need to do? You need to step out and let us know your intentions and your interest in that. Will you trust and obey? For there's no other way. Lord Jesus, in these moments, thank you for your word. Thank you for the assurance that no matter how impossible the transition, that you are our God and you are our Lord and you govern over us in your sovereignty. And Lord, we need to say thank you because you are good to us. You are good to us in providing a way. You're good to us because you are the way. And Lord, I pray that we would respond to that as your people. We would respond to that. Help us to step down in the water. Help us to wade out a little bit deeper. That we might experience you more. That we might have a magnificent, exceptional experience with you. Why? So that we can boast about a miracle? No, that we might grow deeper in your will for our lives. That we would grow deeper in our relationship with you. Lord Jesus, move in us as your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.